Hello and welcome to Team White. I'm Alex Linder here in Northeast Missouri along with Jan in South Africa and again with Alfred Schaefer still in the dictatorial state of Germany. How are you guys doing?
We're fine, thanks.
Well,
I think.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. We're doing fine. And, you know, Germany might appear like a real dictatorial state. But actually, all the states are dictatorial states now. So it's some of them are they mask their dictatorship under things like hate speech, claiming that we have free speech. Except that is hate speech. What you're talking about, you know. So that's just to level set that we're all living.
Yeah, we've seen that over our lives. We've seen that that concept go from the drawing board pretty much to fully implanted in people's minds is a real thing. And generally any word that gets used over and over, people eventually come to accept it. I don't personally even like or really use, other than in tweezers, racism or anti-Semitism or any other concept where, you know, if you're going to talk about others hating Jews, there has to be a word for Jews hating others, which is by far the dominant and media defining reality. And yet there's no commonly accepted word for it. We sort of half-assedly try to apply the Jews' own propaganda terms against them, which is super weak. But that's a technical rhetorical matter that's always irritated me. And if we can't even get on our own side in a verbal war, how do we win any political or fighting wars? Always seemed to me fairly obvious. Because there's nothing they can do to prevent us from using the words we want to use. I mean, yeah, they can call it... They can call it whatever they want, throw you in jail for it, but we still choose whatever words come out of our mouths, and they can't force us to use their loaded political terms. I don't know. I've never been able to sell that to more than two or three people, but to me, it's blindingly obvious.
Actually, you hit the nail right on the head that when we succumb to their loaded words, their weaponized words, we are playing with marked cards. And we will always lose. It's like playing soccer or football on a sloped field. You know, like the ball's always going to be against you, or you know, like not in your favor. And so you hit the nail right on the head. We must never ever bow to or use their loaded words. And as soon as one of these words comes at us, we have to deal with it just like we deal with a marked card. You have to call it out. And demand responsibility for that marked card. For example, if someone calls you a racist or an anti-Semite, you just call it out right there on the spot and say, "What are you trying to tell me? Are you trying to tell me I cannot tell the difference between a German Shepherd and a poodle? Or are you trying to tell me I can't tell the difference between a racehorse and a plow horse?" That's for the term racist. And anti-Semite is just being Jew-wise. If you know what a Jew is, the Jews' so-called religion is no religion at all. It is a behavioral code of conduct for psychopathic insanity is what it is. And this enables them to function as parasites over anybody who's still a human being, and that's what we're dealing with. So, you know, once we have that figured out, then we are immune to their strongest weapons, which are the words and the concepts and the pictures and the lies and the beliefs and so forth. And then they have no chance anymore.
If I could jump in, I think we're just going to skip around today and kind of free associate and see what we can come up with. But one thing I saw, Jan, that you had put out was that there are some Jew-dominated pharmaceutical chain in South Africa that is now overtly saying they refuse to hire or promote whites. It's going to be completely across the board discriminatory.
Yes, Alex, dead on.
Why don't you go into that a little bit and sum it up and then expand it a little bit for people so they understand how this affirmative action, which is black economic empowerment or positive discrimination in the UK, it goes under various titles, but it always means taking jobs from whites who deserve them and giving them to coloreds who don't. What's going on there?
Alex, you know, it is something that's been hitting me a lot, you guys talking about words and stuff like that. You know, it is absolutely amazing how whites everywhere are actually being totally destroyed just by words. And these Jews come in and they turn everything on its head, and they are coming to steal from you. They are coming to discriminate against you, but they word it in such a way that you are the criminal and they are the good people. And that's exactly what happens in South Africa. So in South Africa, they've got all these junk concepts, and these junk concepts allow them to steal from white people and destroy white people, basically. And then they say, no, this is not racism. We're not racist. You were the racist, and we're just busy fixing things. And off they come, and they take stuff away from you. So in South Africa, what we've got is, in the, quote, non-racial South Africa, that's how they phrase themselves. We are non-racial. But in non-racial South Africa, there are quotas. There are racial quotas, and they count you by race. So if you're non-racial, you would imagine that now we never know whether we don't say white and black anymore. But we do. We do, and we count. There are so many blacks in this business, so many whites, so many coloreds, so many Indians. And then they say, well, if there are more than, I think the quota is like 10%. If any business has got more than 10% whites in it, then that's a problem. So we have firm racial quotas, even firmer racial quotas than anything that happened under apartheid. But now it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. And you keep whites out of jobs. So what has happened is there's this big Jewish wholesale pharmacy chain, which is enormous, Alex. There are a bunch of enormous Jewish businesses in South Africa. Most people don't even know these things are Jewish, by the way. And there's this enormous Jewish wholesale pharmacy chain, and these Jews have become billionaires out of this. And the Jew CEO the other day wrote a thing that said that he's not going to hire any more whites at all, and he's not going to promote any whites inside his business. So he wrote that up, and that's caused a storm. I suspect that it's probably Afrikaans whites inside his company who probably leaked it to Solidarity. Solidarity is probably one of the best white creations in South Africa. It's an Afrikaans trade union that mostly just handles whites, actually. And they come out fighting for whites. And Solidarity then kicked up a storm about it. And quite a lot of... And the people who are hitting back the most are the Afrikaans-speaking whites. They're the ones that are not taking this shit. And so the Jew now, in his original letter, he said, he's got to stop the hiring of whites, and he's got to stop the promoting of whites, because he could be fined and driven out of business through all these government fines that he's going to get. But and many people have like said, it sounds like he's got some reason. But the question in my mind is, why does he have to do it now? And we've been operating on racial quotas for more than 20 years. We've had racial quotas. All big businesses, any company more than 500 people has got racial quotas. It's been that way for more than 20 years. Why does he need to now come out and say he's got to stop whites now? He's had 20 years. It's not like this has been that this is like snuck up to him. So he's basically almost making the argument that his business is too white. Now, I've been in their shops on a number of occasions. I don't really shop there because I know who the own. I know that it's Jew owned, so I don't really go there. I only would go now and then for a couple of items that I'm struggling to get. But I must tell you, if you walk into that shop, everybody you see is black. All the staff everywhere are black and non-white. And the only whites that I've seen were like two whites who were sitting in a little office. And the one may have been a supervisor and the other one may have been an accountant or a stocktaker or something. But out of dozens, out of like 30 or 40 or more people, maybe even more than 40 people in that store, there were only like two people that were white that I saw. And I find it hard to believe that his shop is so white that he's got a problem there. Now, if there's maybe a problem with the number of whites at higher levels, then, okay, we don't know about that. But the other thing about this store is that it's actually very, very popular among whites. It's very popular. And if you go and you stand in the queue, 90% of the people in the queue are white. And these shops exist mostly in white areas as well. There probably may be some in non-white areas, I wouldn't know. But there are lots of these shops in white areas, and the vast majority of their customers are definitely white. So I think that this thing, it could be that that the Jew didn't intend for this to come out in public, and that somebody who's white on the inside may have slipped this out to solidarity, and they've been kicking up a storm about it. And there are quite a lot of Afrikaans people who've come forward, and the Afrikaans people have been pretty angry. There's one group of right-wingers in the translation of the name of their group is called the Freedom Riders. And this group called the Freedom Riders, they've already said that they're going to go and they're going to do protests at every single store. They've said that they're going to get like 20 whites to go in there. They're going to fill up their trolleys to the brim with goods. And then when they're about to go to the counters, then they're going to go and they're going to call the management and they're going to say, well, here we are with our products, but our money is too white for you. And so we're leaving now. We're not going to buy this. So,
you know,
final point is there's quite a famous Afrikaans economist named Davie Roet. And Davie Roet came out and he said he and his family will never shop at this Dis-Chem again. So there are people that are saying this is going to cost them money. Whites have boycotted a place before. There was a big boycott against a thing called Spur Steak Ranches a couple of years ago. The whites cost them tens of millions. So the Afrikaans whites are standing up for themselves much more than ever before.
You know, the most valuable thing out of what you are telling us now is the awakening effect that has on our people, okay? Because most people just did not see or understand what's happening behind the scenes with these laws, with this whining about, the poor blacks need to have a fair chance and all that kind of stuff. And when we begin to understand how the Jew operates, how the Jew takes over everything through deceit and thievery and stealing, and then says, well, I own it, so now I can do whatever I want with it. And that is disenfranchising those people from whom he stole it in the hopes that those people from whom he stole it will get killed before they can exact any kind of revenge. This just will not work out for the Jew, and it will have the same result as it's had over 1,000 times in human history, and that's always called the expulsion of the Jews. I mean, once all these white people understand what's happening with our white world, and I can tell you one thing, all these blacks who are running that shop, they will run it into the ground and destroy it because they just don't have the ability to work as industriously or as intelligently as the people who created it, and the people who created it were the white people. So this is we are seeing our world, our civilization being stolen from under our feet and hand it over to another people, the invaders, the black hordes, if you want to call them that, and that will not work out the way the Jew might want it to work out. So whatever pain this is causing, all the better, because all these people who are being, you know, who are losing their income and seeing what's happening, they will start now to think a little bit about what's happened. And once they start to see a little bit of what's happened, they're going to dig deeper and deeper and deeper. And then once they understand the whole picture, including these COVID rat poison kill shots that they've been injected with, if they have received any vaccines, then they will have a very legitimate grief or they will have something that they will want to they will have an account to settle, and that's not going to look very pretty. So the eternal poisoners of the wells will then know what we white people are capable of when we get upset and angry and want to have the account to settle. That's what's coming.
Definitely, definitely. The other thing, Alfred, that you touched on about how they are stealing our civilization, I've often thought about it as like the great hijacking. Jews are literally hijacking all of Western civilization. And isn't it amazing how Jews are turfing whites out of everything? And it's not just South Africa, it's America, everywhere, where they are busy tossing whites out of their own institutions. And it just astounds me what is happening. And then, like, I was looking at a thing with a Indian woman. I think it's an Indian who was fired as some high position in Britain. And I was looking at this, and the guy who's in charge of the treasury in Britain, that guy was a black guy. And I'm looking and I'm saying, like, what is wrong with the British? Can't they see that these people are aliens? Why is a black from Africa running the British Treasury? Don't the British know how to count? Do you want to tell me that he can do better than the British, than the white British? And all these other weirdos. And wasn't it in Canada where some kind of foreign secretary or something, some kind of diplomat in government, that they pulled out a Somalian or something, then they tossed them in. And then they say, oh no, as if some person from a failed state in Africa can run Canadian foreign policy better than white Canadians. And that is the kind of garbage thinking and junk thinking, and whites are actually believing this shit.
Yes, you know, Jan, that's very true. But, you know, it goes even farther than what you have just summarized there. Even in China, when you think that China is profiting from a lot of this because they've, you know, got all our industrialization and all that. But even there, the Jews are driving their agenda in ways that are so grotesque. It's hard to believe. For example, in China, they are running sort of test runs on their automatic, these apps that where you get social scoring kind of thing, and they combine that with getting vaccinated. And if you get vaccinated, your app will have a green card sort of thing, and then you can go shopping, you can open your door from your apartment and so forth with your card. And if you then, as a certain period of time goes by, it turns to yellow, and that means you need to get a booster shot and another vaccination. And if you hesitate and don't get it within a certain period of time, then it goes red, and you won't even be able to open your apartment door anymore. You know, like getting everything completely digitized, including having you tied into getting vaccinations, which are poisonous shots. And if they can give you, they can decide, we'll give him a placebo if he's a good worker. Let's say you reach retirement age or you want to do, you know, some kind of benefits and you're not of the great value that you're supposed to be, then they can just inject you with something else and have you die off. You know, I mean, this is so obscene, so grotesque what these Jews are doing with not only the white people, but all the races. And all the other races, the leading people in all the other races are banking and counting on the white people dealing with this thing, because we are the most capable of dealing with this. And if we fail now at this critical point in our own history, then we will go the way of the dodo bird. We will just vanish from this earth. So that's the interesting and exciting and critical point in human history that we find ourselves at. And once people begin to understand the opportunities that this critical time gives us, if we are capable of it, and the challenge and so forth, this is the golden age for those who have the courage and the foresight to do something about this problem. And everybody can do something, and that is just engaging the system every step of the way, like you're saying, those people in South Africa who are going to go there, you know, 20 and fill up their shopping carts and then say, well, our money is too white for you. That's an excellent way of engaging them, and that'll get them their sporting spirit up and kicking again. And that's what we have to see everywhere where we live and exist. We have to start, activate the sporting spirit to deal with the system, because we will not allow anyone to make an ass of us.
Well, Alfred, what's going on in Germany? And since we last talked a few weeks ago,
yeah, I'll tell you, in Germany, in Germany, people are very rapidly becoming receptive to those facts, we can talk about things we could not talk about before, and people are now opening up their ears. And this COVID corona rat poison injection is the thing that has really done that for us. And I will say, I'll repeat it again, is there's nothing we could do, not in 1,000 years, that could rattle people awake as quickly now as what our opponents are doing every single day now. I mean, like, they're making it so obvious. You know, it's sort of like, I'm hard pressed to find of an example in history where anybody's been made such an ass of as we have been made an ass of now with what's going on now. You know, taking everything from us, expecting us to believe this corona COVID crap, getting injections until we die. I mean, that has a price. You know, you cannot rape and plan to genocide the whole planet and think you get away with it. That has never worked out well for the Jews, and I don't see why it should work out well for the Jews this time. I mean, they've been tossed out like over 1,000 times out of, European areas and so on. Well, one more time ain't going to make a big of a difference.
They're talking about putting that on their regular list for school kids in the USA, their booster shots for the vaccine. I really am surprised, even among people who I consider white nationalists or to believe 90%, I'm surprised that some of them got the shot when you can just, I try to point out, look at it as the exact parallel to the so-called Holocaust or to race and crime. I mean, there's a pattern of lying, and it's obvious. I mean, they changed their story 40 times, deplatform anyone who speaks the truth. And I mean, I don't understand how people don't see the platform. It's reduced in excessive deaths, and it's decrease in pregnancies or decrease in births. So, I mean, the evidence is very, very clear. You want to stay far away from this stuff. And to have it mandatory to participate in public schools, I mean, think about that. You're still going to be taxed for them.
You know, Alex, you've hit so many important points there. Across the board, this is now a big die-off that's taking place, the beginning of a big die-off. We haven't seen the end of it.
Another thing. I know a lot of people who took it and nothing happened. Well, fucking Christ, a lot of people got probably placebos or just plain saline. Apparently, it depends on which lot you got. They're not going to have everyone die off in 10 minutes. They're going to filter it in over time. I'm like, the fact that you got it, that shit's still in your blood, still manufacturing spike proteins. You don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
The fact that it died in 2 years from it, it doesn't mean that.
A good bioweapon like this is like, it has to be, it is designed like a good rat poison. The rats are not supposed to associate the bait with their imminent death. The death is supposed to be have like a trigger that is, you know, enough time goes by so that they kind of cannot associate the bait with their deaths. And that's what's happening here. So, but we do have examples of people dying within minutes of getting a booster shot, for example.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then there's people dying like a month later. And it's designed to do the main killing like 2 or 3 years later. So and the deaths will be something like the AIDS deaths, you know, like where people will just their own immunity, natural immunity is being destroyed. So they will die the next time they get a normal infection of something else, and they'll die from that infection. And then our Jewish friends will say, oh, it's got nothing to do with the vaccination. Oh, no, you know. But I'll tell you what's really driving, what's going to drive where the energy is going to come for doing what needs to be done. It is, and I've seen that on some good videos made by Germans now, is they'll say, you know, I got sucked into getting the vaccination, so you can shit on me, who cares? But what you did to my children, there's no excusing that. There's no letting that one get off. And this is, I call that the grizzly bear reaction. You know, you could go walking down a hiking path and you find the cutest little teddy bear who crosses your path, and you don't, and with good intentions, with not even having bad intentions, you pick up this cute little bear and give him some honey or something to eat, you know, because he's so cute and cuddly. But the mama grizzly bear finds you, sees you with her little baby in your hands, and she perceives that you are going to harm her little baby, and you will not have even one more breath of air to take before you're dead. She will kill you. The mummy is going to kill you so fast you won't even know it hit you. Now, when we as human beings begin to comprehend, to understand that this entire, everything that's happening to us now, this so-called fake Holocaust with which they brought us down to our knees, accusing the innocent Germans of having Holocausted these Jews in an industrial scale, industrialized genocidal process, and we find that was all just to get us on our knees, and they were sucking money out of us, bleeding us out, you know, to exhaustion, and now they are doing that, what they accused the innocent Germans of, they are actually doing that to us in real. And this is not a game. This is not just a show. This is not a ha-ha, funny, ha-ha. This is for real. Then we can expect the mama grizzly bear sort of reaction. And these Jews will have no place they can hide. And the doctors who sold their soul to the devil and did the injecting for the prophets, they also will have some very fast talking and explaining to do if they want to see the light of the next day. Because they will, it's not to us they have to explain that. They have to explain it to the people they injected. And those are their very own neighbors, maybe even their own children. So you're going to see a lot of people who will be so frustrated, so angry, so confused. This is the situation that we're facing. So it's the real focus now is, or we have to focus our energy is how do we come down from this situation we find ourselves in, this diagnosis that I just explained now, how do we go from there to dealing with this reality without everybody killing everybody? You know, that's where we find ourselves. An interesting time.
Yeah, they really, the doctors really showed themselves. They always had the respect of most Americans, but they showed themselves now to be not really worthy of any more respect than anyone else, because so very few of them stood up to the pressure. And I guess a lot of them really were just plain profit driven. And there's a lot of profits in using the drugs they were telling people to take and administer these vaccines and these fake solutions of ventilators and all that. But we who stayed completely aside from this and pointed out from the start, look, they're hyping up something that's nothing. Colds aren't killing people except those who are really old and really sick already. And what they should have really gone into was that they're funding all this gain of function to create these nasty new diseases. Even in the last week, I think it was Boston University said that they had come up with some, what they do, they take a natural, like coronavirus, like a natural cold virus, and they try to soup it up like a car and make it a super killer. They claim they came up with something based on a coronavirus plus gain of function that had killed 80% of the mice in their trial. Maybe it was rats or mice, but now why are they doing this? You know, and this is what these jerks are doing over there in Ukraine, along with laundering money. And that's where the real journalism ought to have started, but we never got it. So you have to just assume this stuff is going on more or less continually. So much of the money in the U.S. is a black budgeted, where they don't tell you what it's being spent for. Well, this is the kind of crap that they're doing with it, you know, in the name of fighting terrorism or keeping the USA safe or for some other security reason. And man, if these people are putting this out, I mean, the U.S. government, you don't want any piece of it. I mean, that's what we're here to tell you. And I don't see how anyone can disagree with that. We now have the proof. I don't care. You may not individually know people who have died from this or whatever, but just look around and on the alternative media, the social media. Why do you think you can see whole videos of just person after person, healthy young athlete, just falling down dead on the field? That's not normal stuff. You look around, there's plenty of that. Also, there's a lot more of this cancer and then fast-growing cancers. And then when people die, they're not calling it due to the vaccine. They're calling it something else. So all you can do is really look at the total number dead or the total decrease in births to see that, well, something's going on. And then you have the people at the top like Bill Gates and the rest of them who overtly say, yeah, we have a depopulationist agenda. And then you got, since we last talked, in Holland, they're more or less criminalizing a lot of farming, trying to drive out 30% of the farmers. At the same time, in hundreds of schools, this was on Twitter recently, they're feeding kids literal insects. They're doing that in California. They're doing that in Holland. Feeding you insects, telling you you can't farm, sticking you full of this booster, and admitting they've got a depopulation agenda. What the hell's going on here? As Alfred said, there has to be a revolution or we are going to end in utter and complete slavery and just mulatto stud farm that Newt Hamsun said America was. That's the end. You've got a under 100 IQ population of mixed blood that can't even ever have any hope of perceiving what's going on. It lives by violence and federal subsidy, and America just becomes a vaster wasteland than it already is. That's the future they have in mind. And you know, in Europe, they bring in all these people. In the classroom, they showed eating the bugs. Why, you didn't see any diversity in there. It was all white kids being fed these nasty insects that the human body is not adapted to eat at all.
Wow.
And then, you know, we had, I think I mentioned last time, the report of some giant multi 10,000 square foot facility in Canada to produce protein from crickets that they're going to add into, you know, the industrialized, commercialized, processed flour that they, you know, they make their cookies and chips and stuff from, and bread. So, all this is pursuing the same agenda. What did Jefferson say? The Declaration of Independence, invariably pursuing the same agenda. You know, they keep pushing. It's always in the same direction. Oh, you can't drive a real car that works. Oh, you can't eat real food. You can't have your own opinions. That's hate speech. Constantly shrinking the sphere in which whites need in order to operate as true full-fledged Aryans that we are. That's what we're fighting.
Alex, you raised so many issues in there, Alex. Very important stuff. And by the way, I was thinking, you know, we've always said, oh, we don't want to live under communism, But when I was reading the memoirs of the German general von Manstein, he spoke about Jewish Bolshevism, and Hitler's time, they didn't talk about communism. They spoke about Jewish Bolshevism. And
yes.
And in the Soviet
Union. Bolshevism.
Yes. And in the Soviet Union, Manstein was having partisans and so forth, people arrested and shot, etc. But he made the point that the orders were that Jewish Bolshevism must be destroyed. And we are back in the same old game. Jewish Bolshevism's here. It may have just changed its tactics and changed some of its face, but it's still here, and it's creepy and weird and evil. Just a quick one about the COVID stuff, an area that I've sat and thought about a lot, and I'm with you, Alex. Having that injection, you don't know what's going into your body. And once that thing is in your body, you can't get it out. You don't know what that thing's doing to you. And that was exactly how I felt about it. And
the other part I didn't mention was that not only are they going to put it, see, they got a whole list. I always like to give the whole point of Team White is give you the broadest context and then some of the data points within, but the broadest context. Over time, they have just added and added and added all these vaccines that are more or less mandated or enforced or highly recommended, and these into kids. And then we have the rise of autism and all these other problems, autoimmune, that never really existed in very big numbers before the 20th century. And so you have to think this is part of it because they don't even calculate the effects of these vaccines in relation to other vaccines that they're talking about. So some of these have cumulative poisons in them in various forms. Well, now they're starting to, we're going to add these annual, we're going to make it like changing your car's oil, like an annual booster shot you need for your body. And they always start enforcing that in the younger generations. The other thing was they're about finalizing, they're supposed to do it like this week, that they are completely free from any legal responsibility for standing behind their products. So, I mean, that right there, I'm curious why I even have to argue with people. I'm like saying, if I was selling something, I would stand behind the goddamn thing. None of these people are standing behind what they're selling at all. In fact, the exact opposite. They are legally protected from being sued. Why in the world would you even consider taking that?
Yes.
You know? And you know, where it's got to.
There was a French general who's been quoted just recently as saying that those people who have successfully resisted getting the vaccination, the incredible pressure that everybody's been put under to get the vaccination from all sides, you've been coerced, and those are the people who are depending on now to get this thing rectified, because all the other people who succumbed to this and rolled up their sleeve and got the shot, they got weak and they exposed themselves as being too weak to persevere, sort of thing. And they're all going to be suffering because of it, unless they're very lucky. I mean, maybe they got a placebo.
Look at the other side, too. It's like, okay, that's the negative. Well, what's the positive? There is no positive. It doesn't stop you from getting it. It doesn't stop you from spreading it. There's loads of people who've died from it either immediately or later on. And God knows what the future holds. We're only a couple of years into it. So you're literally like taking something. There's no – and the funniest thing is all these ones who so dramatically take it, you know, in the early part of this. And then they all get sick from it like a week later. I mean, why are you taking something that isn't even killing anybody? If it's not imaginary, it's killing like – a tiny fraction of 1% who are already old and sick. And there's just zero upside to it and a huge potential downside. You want to get like look at all the entertainers like Justin Bieber. You know, he's got Bell's palsy. He can't go on tour now. He tried and then he had to quit because they're fucked up from it.
Oh wow!
I mean, if you're gonna believe Zog's hype, you are. Yeah, there was a guy yesterday on I found a very interesting person who's in some of that, and he was just talking to some Haitian guy just freaking dropped dead, you know, during a performance. This has happened to loads and loads of people, but it's never tied together by the media because they're promoting it. And where I am, I get in the car every day at 2 p.m. I'm listening to a country station. They're just get that shot, get a flu shot, get a COVID shot, get a booster shot. If not for you, then for everyone else. They're always trying to morally guilt you into doing it. And 99 out of 100, I don't care if they're journalists, doctors, whether they're just fucking whores for the system. They want, as long as they want to get their piece of pie and they have their social status, they will not do anything that threatens to bring any unwanted attention to them or that it cuts their income in any way. And that's the unfortunate truth about our species, I fear. But yeah, as Alfred said, the people who have, we ought to get some credit for being right the whole way. We told you what was gonna happen. I personally said when we saw those first big reports coming out of Italy, I said, well, you know, what the journalist is not telling you that all these people, they are telling you it. But if you take 100, and I've said this many, many years ago, in fact, I called it a media law. the truth will always be in the next to last paragraph. They'll hint at the actual truth. Now, and that's in an average news article. And these longer ones in the Daily Mail, it'll be roughly proportionally near the bottom. Then they'll always go back to the theme, just like a musical song in the very last paragraph. They'll sum up whatever their propaganda. And the second to last, though, is where they typically hide the truth. And I told people the truth is, look, the people who are dying have already lived longer than the average life. That's one thing that's very interesting. They're old, they're fat, they're sick. They have comorbidities, what they call them, multiple diseases, and they're dying of this. Yeah, well, they're going to die from almost anything. So you sense this is not killing loads of people, that there is no actual problem. It's media hype. But and again, even people who know the Holocaust and what bullshit it is and how it's made up and how they'll even take pictures of German victims of firebombing and claim that's Holocaust victims, even they, all it takes is one or two photos that are supposedly of the Chinese locking down some city to conclude, well, that's it. It's a real pandemic. These people never stop lying.
Absolutely. Just, totally.
It's like we here at Team White never stop truthing. Alex, okay, that's what I have to say. But don't endanger yourself.
The other thing is the damage to people in terms of sterilization. That's been something that I've looked at with some of this COVID, and I think that is another area of damage that people aren't aware of.
Sure. Well, Jan, they claimed originally it would be shot into like your deltoid muscle and it would stay there. Nope. Now that they found it in all parts of the body and breaking through the blood-brain barrier too, so it's just another one of the things they've lied about, and it's not a vaccine because a vaccine is supposed to be, hell, even the theory of viruses is called into question by some. I don't know enough to proclaim one way or another, but a vaccine was always a little piece of the disease itself. It's not something they cooked up in the lab and stuck into you on the theory that they know what they're doing.
Alex, the virus is
it's not the same as ours.
Alex, you're right. It was only very recently I started looking into that too, as it was being pointed out to me, and I am beginning to conclude that almost everything we've been told about viruses is also a lie, and all the stuff, all the old scientists who came up with these studies and, you know, with all also this vaccine stuff and so forth going way back, most of them recanted on what they had done and said it's all bullshit, you know, it's just all fraud. So that's it. Like,
yeah,
I don't believe anything they tell us about the word corona, COVID, viruses, everything
that has to be that is the rational man's starting point, is that you have to assume that they are lying because you know their agenda. Everything that they say and promote is promoting their agenda.
Yeah. And it's like the Holocaust. How much when they talk about the Holocaust, I say, fuck off with your Holocaust and go somewhere else, you know, tell it to the trees out there or someplace, but don't talk to me about it. Like that's my reaction.
Well said.
Yeah. And you know, they teach that. They teach that in these schools just nonstop.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why, you know, we should step over it. Well, they're inflicting that on the young to get them to believe the Jews are victims rather than predators who are preying on our ignorance, our gullibility, and our social fears as much as anything. Whites aren't really a physically afraid race, but they do not have. It just seems to me that moral courage is even less common than physical courage. And moral courage would just be standing up and saying, like, you know, hey, the emperor has no coat. I mean, that's the point of that tale. Well, actually, the point of that tale was people will go along with a lie if everybody else is doing it. And by God, he nailed how far people are, unfortunately. So we, the minority who can withstand some kind of social pressure or criticism, we have to do the big duty of leading people to say no. These people are leading you to your perdition, and we are leading you to safety. Come with us if you want to live, right? Literally live. We have the right way to go. We know what you need if you're a normal, ordinary white person. We have the future that you want. And don't listen to these liars in the mass media. Kill your TV. That's where these lies are coming from. And
absolutely.
Lose your
kill
social
the TV. You've pinned the tail on the donkey there. Like, we, the latest point in time that all of these people who are now still going the apparently more comfortable way of getting the injection, then I won't have any social problems and blah, blah, blah. The latest point in time that they will be forced to acknowledge the reality is when the reality overcomes them because the power grids go down, nothing works anymore, and the hordes are running through town stealing everything they can because this is a break. This is a total collapse that we are heading for on the trajectory that we find ourselves on. So that's it, and I'm glad you pointed out that the people, the later they come on board and realize they've been duped, the higher the price that they will be willing to pay to prove that they have some value, some worth in their life. I mean, because if you say the difference between an animal and a human being is an animal doesn't know why it dies. A human being normally does. And these people that that get an injection and believe the lies, they don't even know why they're dying. They just suddenly die. And by the way, I know several people in my little area here who have died from the shot. Okay, several, not just one or two, but more than that, you know. Yeah, these people don't chance anymore to think or to use their brains or their fists.
Well, they see stuff happen. They take the shots and then stuff happens to them, and they just resolutely refuse to see any connection.
Yeah.
And they make it so that even their own relatives can't discuss it with them, around them. I don't usually mention private stuff, but all of a sudden three people, two blood related to me, had a Mohs thing, if you know what that is. Mohs is like, I guess, skin cancer and a way of treating it. Okay. And I looked. I couldn't find any relation between Mohs and getting the shot, but I know two of the people did, and I suspect the third one did too. And, of course, they think it's a what it is something changes in your skin. The Mohs, M-O-H-S, they go in and they scoop it out to the level they need to get all the cancer. So it can be treated kind of outpatient. I don't guess it's a huge thing, but I just kind of wonder.
You know, that's interesting because I've heard that same thing here. They have people getting what they call in German Gürtelrose. It's and maybe that's the same as what you're talking about. I'm not sure.
Let me just say Mohs is, I guess, named after the doctor who discovered it. M-O-H-S, I think it is. And it seems to be both the cancer and the way of treating it, something like that. But if you see something, like if your skin and your forehead or something goes irregular and starts bleeding scoop it out, and they do a biopsy, and they keep going down levels until they got it all. Once you had it, you might get it again. And it's not a huge deal, but just made me wonder a little. So what are you saying in Germany?
I've been told that those are the symptoms of the body trying to extricate, get rid of the poisons, you know, and you can call it anything you want, but I've heard of a lot of different people getting these skin problems, like you know, all this red wrinkly skin or whatever it is. I haven't seen it personally myself, but I've just heard a lot of cases like that, and I've been told that it is the body reacting, trying to get rid of these poisons that it can't get rid of in any other way.
Like specifically skin cancer or just skin irritation, or
did you find it any way you like? It's a blistering skin or skin lesions or whatever, like the skin going crazy. That's they call it here.
Do me a favor and see if you notice any Mohs, M-O-H-S. Look it up. It's a very specific thing. I think it's M-O-H-S. I don't think it's M-O-H apostrophe. Yes, I'm gonna look that up now.
Yeah.
I had heard of it, but I didn't know anything about it. Mohs surgery, M-O-H-S, no apostrophe, is a procedure used to treat skin cancer. It's not the skin cancer, but it's a procedure. Surgery involves cutting away thin layers of skin. See, they cut it, and then the guy goes and looks at it under a microscope, and they do more if they need to do more until they got it all. The process keeps going until there are no signs of cancer, and then it's sort of, and then a nurse stitches you up afterwards. So I tried to see if that was in any way related to the shots. I didn't see any evidence that it was, but I found it very, very odd that in 1 month I heard about three relatives having that.
Yeah, and that's just what you've heard, and everywhere there's this mass massive rise in unexplained early deaths. You know, let's not bring the subject of vaccinations into this game. But, you know, like this is, it's all the statistics. They can't hide it anymore. The people, and I mean, this is the biggest genocide, the biggest poisoning of the wells, if you want to call it that, that mankind has ever experienced, because the Jews have never had such vast, enormous power as they did until now, or believe that they still have, wanting to ascend the throne of world rule, everything they accuse the evil Nazis of wanting to do. And it's been their intention all along
to do this. Alfred, we should jump in here and talk about Kanye West. I don't know if you guys have seen this, being on different continents. This is a tricontinental report, but the biggest thing of the last week or two in America has been Kanye West, who is, I guess he now goes by Ye West or changed his name. I'm not familiar with his music, but I'm sure I've heard it because he was a top sort of singer rapper. He calls himself the richest black man in history. If not, he's in the top 10, certainly, but he started criticizing Jews. And it's probably the highest level sustained Jew criticism, and he's black, from anyone, black or white, from any kind of figure, at least since Mel Gibson said something. And all Mel Gibson said was one drunken comment, which he later backed off and then groveled and went to the Holocaust Museum of Fiction the Jews have set up in L.A. I think there are, of course, they have more than one. But anyway, Kanye West did not, and he's doubled and tripled down and keeps criticizing Jews. And overtly saying they control blacks, they control the black voice, they control all the music. And he says, but they can't control me. And this has been the biggest thing going on in America from our point of view in the last week or two, just to totally shift the subject.
But Alex, what does
Alex Kanye wasn't
K-A-N-Y-E West. He's been the biggest sort of black music name over the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years.
I saw that, but wasn't Tucker Carlson interviewing
way totally behind him? Like, you get these right wing blacks that the Republicans are always trying to pull in, these blacks, one named Zuby, and he was obviously doing the usual cucking thing the way the whites all do and refusing to criticize Jews, but he got totally, as the kids say, ratioed in the comments. They're hugely in favor of West. So this stuff is starting to break into the open and really strengthen that as much as possible. You see my daily feed at KirksvilleToday.com. I've posted as much of this stuff as I could, but this is the highest level figure who's criticized Jews in a long, long time. I mean, you'd have to, apart from the president of Iran or something. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Alex. What I was saying was, that Kanye West stuff, didn't that come from him talking to Tucker Carlson?
No, he talked to Tucker Carlson after the initial comments, I think. But you might be right, though. I thought he talked to Tucker later on, but he just said, either case, he said what I said. He said Jews are controlling the music industry. He was married to a Kardashian, who's a big sort of trashy family, and they had kids and they're divorced, and now they're calling him mentally ill and whatever. So of course they throw that in there, but he was an extremely popular, hugely rich. And now he's saying he's going to buy Parler, which was one of these oddly enough conservative social media that wouldn't allow you to criticize Jews, similar to Parler or not literally is Parler, but similar to, what was the other one? Like Trump's Truth Social, right? When Trump got banned off Twitter because they were afraid Twitter was getting him elected, which was correct, they tried to get Trump to get onto Gab, but his Jew son-in-law, Jared Kushner, the price of Trump joining Gab was banning all criticism of Jews. So even Corbo wouldn't do that. So Trump set up his own Truth Social. And now Parler was another of these conservative attempts that basically completely failed. I don't know why, because I didn't pay much attention or care. But now Kanye West is going to buy that and presumably would allow Jew criticism. But on the other hand, you've got Elon Musk, who was trying to buy Twitter and then backed out and then was back in again. I was hoping that Kanye West, who respects and has talked to Elon Musk, would take over Twitter and allow criticism of Jews on there, because it really is the only platform that's needed, if they would allow full and complete criticism from everybody instead of just the usual anti-white limitations. But that's probably a pipe dream. But anyway, these are all very interesting things that are going on as we talk this time. I like I said, we have not seen any you will see Jew criticism from public figures. Then they get fired and they start groveling, typically an actor or a newscaster or some minor person. Kanye West is about as big as it gets in entertainment. And he repeated and even added to what he's saying. He kind of has a dumb NOI, Nation of Islam approach, where blacks are the real Jews, that type of Christian identity retardation. But he is a Christian. But he did not. He absolutely stated the truth about Jews controlling the black voice, Jews controlling the media, that type of thing. And it has not been put out by someone at that high of a level in a long, long time. So we would be remiss not to mention that biggest of stories. And go to Twitter and look around. You don't have to join. You can just read and see how open, how people understand what he's saying, and they agree with him, not his critics. So, very interesting.
That's excellent. Alex, one thing I've seen from my investigations into black politics here in South Africa is you can actually see blacks, the Jews, doing exactly that to the blacks. What the Jews do, you know, Alex, it is amazing how in your face Jews are. Jews do things that nobody else has the gumption to do. They will go to a black organization, and this is what they did in the past. They would go to black political organizations, and Jews would tell them they want to join the black political organization. So it's blacks wanting to do politics for blacks. Then the Jews will tell them, we want in. If the blacks do not allow the Jews in, then the Jews call them racist and the Jews never support them, etc. But when the blacks allow them in, then the Jews turn around and say, oh, this is a black organization. And the blacks and Jews are right in there among the blacks. And this is actually what happened with Nelson Mandela and the African National Congress. Jews went and struck a deal with them, got in there, and all of a sudden you see all these quotes, white Jews at high levels all through their organization.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, they supply the brains and the money. They do that in everything, and they will do it in that's why you have to – we posited this as a law. Actually, a guy I used to work for or whose program I was in many, many years ago made the original quote that any organization that – oh, gosh, I forget what it was. But the updated model, M. Stanton Evans was his name. Is there any organization that does not exclude whatever will be taken over by them? Well, that works perfectly with Jews. Any organization that doesn't exclude Jews will in time be taken over by them because they have the money and the connections and they have the existing network and the existing pools of money that allow them to be very friendly and helpful to get into something. And then when they're in there, they dominate it and they put their agenda as your agenda. Now you are their front people. And this is exactly what you see with like American Renaissance, where they're literally embracing Laura Loomer, the Jew, while calling themselves white nationalists. So the exact same thing can be done to whites, just as it's always done to blacks. And see, in the USA, they always portray the civil rights movement as some kind of organic, black-led, black-directed moral cause, when in fact it was completely a production of Jewish money, Jewish organization, and Jewish media. And it wasn't about civil rights at all. It was about putting blacks on top of whites and all the social destruction and Jew empowerment that would ensue from that was completely intentional. But they sold it to whites as a moral cause, and it's still represented as a moral cause today. But, you know, how can spreading crime, misery, stupidity, broken down buildings and all the rest, how is that a moral, good moral thing? No, it's not. But that's how they played it in the media. And civil rights would not have succeeded without the media behind it. But Jews can play it any which way. They can thrive in slavery. They can survive in civil rights, whatever. Blacks on top, whites on top. They're always going to be doing the same dirty things. They don't change. And the turning point in USA was They were even involved with the Klan back in the 1800s. A lot of people don't know that. I didn't know myself how much they dominated, not just slavery. We all know that. They dominated the plantation society and the middlemen for all those goods that were produced, or all the agricultural products down there. You read the Nation of Islam's second book. I forget the title, but they got that series of three. And Jews absolutely dominated and profited off of selling blacks just the way they do profiting off selling white slaves, typically white women, into prostitution in Israel, taking them out of Eastern Europe, out of Ukraine that they dominate. How sad is it? Why can we whites not control our own countries? We have to have enough balls to stand on our back feet and say, no, we are whites. Jews have nothing to do with us. Their goddamn garbage religion they foisted on us that we stupidly accepted is absolutely destroying our ability to think clearly. Because when you remove that, you see what needs to be done to Jews. And this is what I've been harping on, Lo, these last few years. It obscures our ability to think rationally when we start, well, but God chose them and they're God's people and they're God's elder brothers and they're our elder brothers in Christ. And there's some kind of, how in the world, it's ironic, how gullible do you have to be to take Jews as some kind of moral example? Even the Bible shows them to be nothing but a bunch of cheats and lying scum and completely genocidal to other people. So what are you going to sit there like a fan, basically going to Sunday school as being a fanboy of these Jews? It's pathetic. I mean, but then you see, and like I said, Christianity is really what separates the conservatives from the racialists or the white nationalists. And if you sign up with that, you're going to end up captured and run by Jews because you see the world primarily morally instead of just biologically how it is. They use Christianity to drive biology out of the world, but they themselves believe in that biology quite fervently. That's why they're inbred. They marry themselves. They don't want to outmarry. They want to increase their intelligence. They were practicing eugenics before all that stuff was widely understood. And they themselves, people always think they're left-wing. They're not. They're left-wing tactically, or even you could say strategically, but they are not left-wing. They are traditionalist, and they are for blood and our people and our land. And exactly what's good for them would be good for us, but instead they've sold us and forced on us both ways universalism. And you can look out the window with your own eyes and see how bad and failed universalism is. It doesn't work. Germany filled with non-Germans isn't going to work. You know, right now, I saw yesterday four or five big businesses were now insolvent there because of this energy mess. And they don't have anybody who will stand up and say, hey, what about Germany's interests? We need that Nord Stream 2 gas. You know, there's nothing wrong with buying from Russia or Russia selling to us. We're letting Jews from America interfere with all this and mess up Europe and drive it back to the Middle Ages to further their goal of taking over the world. And that's the big story up there.
Well, we are now seeing the Hutton plan, the Killarney plan, you know, where they said that the Germany has to be exterminated. Yeah. Where the Kaufman plan, we're seeing
Kaufman,
that now
Morgenthau,
materializing.
Right? Deindustrialization, Morgenthau deindustrialization, Kaufman genocide, right?
It's a genocide we're now seeing being implemented. And this is now the true test for whether we still have it in us to deal with it, because all these invaders here, the Jew just calculates that the more chaos he can create for this breakdown scenario, the more likely he will succeed in actually breeding the Germans or exterminating the Germans. And once the Germans go, so does the entire white race. Without Germany and the Germans, then the other European countries will also fall like dominoes in the following decades and so forth. And that's what they are calculating on. But that's a miscalculation, because the hardships that we will be experiencing in this collapse, this breakdown, will awaken what we still have in us at the same time that we are recognizing what has been done to us. And that is where I always say the mother grizzly bear energy and rage will come to the fore. And that is where it's a bad time to be a Jew now, where all these factors are playing out. And this is, and like you were saying before about the biology and the religion and so forth, we are finding our way back to our biological roots, which is in our DNA. And in our DNA is where we know that's where the instructions lie with what needs to be done, like how we're going to deal with this.
And very little pressure. And those Jews are already on Twitter. Just a few comments from people supporting West, and they're like, "Well, I got my passport ready just in case." They know what they're doing, and they know what needs to happen to them. Believe me, they are ready. They are super. That's why they try to shut it down immediately, because the minute anyone's allowed to make any kind of rational case, like I'm making or Alfred's making or Jan are making, they know damn well they've had it. They let one of us on TV to talk about this stuff, like, you know, this big time rapper is. And we say the sort of stuff we're saying here. It's over for them. I mean, because it's what we're saying is absolutely undeniable.
We've come full circle on this thing, and now we're seeing the entire picture going back a generation, you know, multiple generations, and we see the agenda, and now we know what needs to be done, and that's what they're afraid of, because we know what needs to be done, and they can't stop it anymore. So they're making ever more mistakes, and they're panicked to try to keep the agenda going, and they're stabbing each other in the back. And the wind has turned, the wind has changed. And those people who, you know, if you go out and you say, oh, how come other people aren't understanding it? Well, people who do understand it don't walk around with a flashing light on their head. And when you talk to people, it's amazing how many people understand everything suddenly. I mean, this is really, what I'm experiencing. So that's it. It's game over for them. And I expect that we'll be seeing a lot of things happening this winter. And then by next summer, I'd predict that this corona COVID dictatorship regime will, and Israel will have fallen. That's my prediction. It's going to be mayhem. It's going to be blood on the streets.
Well, if I may say a few things, quick one, Alfred, you've pointed out that our enemies are making mistakes. And Alfred, I've been noticing it myself, and I've got the perfect quote for you from Napoleon. Napoleon says, never interrupt your enemy when he's busy making a mistake. And our enemies are making many mistakes. And these things that they're doing, even like this pharmacy thing here in South Africa, man, I'm telling you, all this stuff just points out the Jew thing. You know, white South Africans have never really gone around talking about Jews, at least not now. There was a time when they were much more awakened to Jews decades ago. But today I was at my Portuguese barber. I went for a haircut today. And while I was talking to my Portuguese barber, we started talking about this pharmacy issue. And then my barber says to me, you know, earlier today I had another customer here, and he was also talking about this, and he was pointing out that the pharmacy chain is owned by a Jew. I said to him, really? What kind of customer is this? Is this an Afrikaans guy or what? He says, no, it's an Englishman, and he's a lawyer, and he was talking about the Jews. And then he said, the lawyer said to him, guess who spoiled the blacks? It wasn't the Afrikaners. It wasn't the Portuguese. It was the Jews. So here's a freaking lawyer, and he's talking about the Jews. So that is amazing for an Englishman in South Africa. So some kind of message is moving, I must tell you. And I think this chemist thing, I think this thing is gonna really raise the profile among whites about, hey, you know, here are super rich Jews, because these people are billionaires. Here are super rich Jews, and they're saying they're not hiring whites, etc., etc. What the hell is this? So I think I've noticed in quite a few things the Jews do, they kind of know. They kind of sense, like you say, they sense that there's danger. But, and they do know many of our psychological susceptibilities, but there are other things about us that you can see that they are miscalculating. and they reckon, yeah, let's do this. This'll get those whites down. And actually, there are moves that they make that actually are very counterproductive for them. And I like that. And
absolutely. Yeah. This is a like Napoleon's quote, you know, don't ever interrupt your enemy when they're making a mistake, you know, like when they're busy making mistakes. And that's never been more true than what we're seeing these days now. And it's only going to intensify as people are waking up and our enemies are stabbing each other more and more in the back, you know, trying to, you know, because they don't know what they're doing anymore. And we're going to be seeing hyperinflation. So all the money that the Jews have stolen will suddenly, that's where they're trying to get us onto, you know, digital money and whatever else, because they're losing everything. I mean, we're going to be back to, we're going to have massive blackouts, power blackouts, and the money's not going to be worth anything. We are going into a phase where Weimar Germany will seem like kindergarten compared to what we're going to be facing, just because of the scale and the, you know, it won't be any like the doubling or the halving of the value of the currency every single day for months on end. Well, you'll be going to the bakery with a wheelbarrow full of money to buy a loaf of bread. I mean, that's, you know, that's what's coming our way right now.
Yeah, Alfred, every time, one thing I noticed about liberalism is liberalism always ends in bloodshed and communism. When I looked at the Spanish Civil War, you look at Weimar Germany, Hungary, you know, Jewish crap always ends up in chaos and bloodshed. And make no mistake, here in South Africa, the day is going to come when we're going to have that. I must tell you that when I look at a lot of what's happening in the world, our take on politics and our understanding of humans as biological behavior and animals, that is going to play itself out again. Among the things that I think we're still going to see in the years to come, we're going to see Jews fleeing with the money. They're going to be stealing the money and fleeing, probably to Israel, or wherever the hell they can go. And I think like in South Africa, you know, there are Jews in South Africa who are trying to control black politics. But even the Jew-black thing is not working so well. And the Jews have got lots of problems. And there are times when the Jews have been trying to make blacks liberals, and then the whole thing has been falling apart. And then at a point, the Jews actually come and seize control back from the blacks, because the blacks are destroying the Jewish political party, because we've got a liberal political party. If you want to know the Jewish vehicle in liberalism in South Africa, it's called the Democratic Alliance. That is the Jewish diversity thing. And so Jews have tried to suck blacks in to vote for them, and then they promote the blacks, but then the blacks start destroying everything and they start fighting among each other. And then at a point, the Jews have had to like crush the blacks and seize control again. The whole thing's a mess, okay? And Jews are also involved in communism. On the other hand, the Jews and the South African Communist Party, the whole Jew-black thing is becoming more and more chaotic. And the blacks are fighting more and more among themselves. The whole thing is so becoming so chaotic. My prediction, I don't know if you know this, Alfred, but I only discovered in the last year or in I actually discovered about 10 years ago that two-thirds of the Jews of South Africa had already left South Africa more than 10 years ago. Very quietly, two-thirds of South African Jews quietly left the country. And so we're down to less than a third of the population of Jews that we used to have, and they are still quietly leaving. They've noticed that, quotes, anti-Semitism is on the increase. And because the blacks also don't like Israel. That whole Jewish-black thing, I think my prediction for South Africa is you'll see Jews leaving, and only the very rich, the really, really rich Jews will stay. and they are all going to be on the side of the blacks. But ultimately, it's going to be common whites fighting common blacks. That's where this baby is going. One day when the blood starts running, it's going to be Afrikaans whites versus the blacks, and that's when the blood runs. That's where we're going to. But Jews create confusion in many places, and I also saw that Hitler, in his table talk, he was talking about that, and Hitler even mocked the Jews. He said, "A Jew can be so stupid that he will saw through the very branch that he's sitting on." So, final comment, if I may. My apologies. The final thing I'd like to just raise with you guys. Notice with COVID and lots of stuff, COVID, electric cars, climate, just look around you and you'll see, have a look at how much junk capitalism and junk business is coming along. It's all garbage. It's all garbage. And it costs insane amounts of money, has no benefits, and just look at how they're promoting junk business. I've been looking at cars for many years, and I've noticed that cars are becoming more and more junk. A car is now so expensive that a car is about half the price of my house. But in South Africa, the cheapest electric cars in South Africa cost as much as my house. And I've been sitting and thinking about this. And I look at the technology and I say to myself, is this really necessary? And to me, cars are like bloated garbage these days. You could go back to a car from the 1950s. It's got everything you need. It'll be even faster than the car of today. And it'll cost you a fraction of the money. And there's literally very little technology difference. Anyway, just a few thoughts.
Yeah, the markets have crashed here. So the stocks are way down. And the gold isn't down, but it's flat. And crypto's way down. And cars, they were, like a year ago, they were super high priced, and now they're coming down, I believe, rapidly. I think I'm right about that. But housing definitely peaked a couple months ago. So these idiots at the Fed have been raising rates, and that crashes the economy. But we still have very high inflation. So they're constantly making things worse in every possible way. And it's all inflicted for no reason except moralizing, because like the USA has plenty of oil. They could drill, or they could have it from Canada come down. Nope. They got to, or they could get it from other places, but they don't want it. They don't want to allow the green agenda is basically to destroy industrial civilization and force everyone into a kind of third world living style while the elite continue to live the way normal people do right now or have been the last 100 years. So they very much don't want opportunities for anybody but themselves. And all these economic measures they take in relation to climate change or COVID always destroy normal white people who might run businesses, like small businesses. They're always targeted against whites owning small businesses and to the advantage of these giant international conglomerates that are owned by Jews typically now, who have the same leftist politics as the governments that they control or bribe with money. It's really become very much the top 1% against the bottom, 80%.
Yeah, you know what? When Jan was saying that, you were saying that all the cars are like just junk cars they're producing and so forth, or so much of the economy is just producing junk. You know, it's actually so much worse than that. Like, if all this, just looking at the production by the pharma industry of these vaccines, these rat poison shots, look at all the money. The money is supposed to be a placeholder for real value. Now, these Jews are grabbing all this placeholder for real value called money, billions and billions, by producing injections to kill people. And I know now that there, I saw one guy, I don't know what his position was. I think he was talking with an Italian accent or something. He was going after von der Leyen, you know, from the EU, and demanding billions and billions and accusing her of the billions and billions of taxpayer money that she has given to the vaccine companies for enough doses to give every single European at like 10 shots kind of thing. So this is what's happening now, is these Jews have got their trained dogs, or their Jews in positions of decision-making positions, who are deciding that all this money that is like tax money is going to these pharmaceutical companies to produce injections to kill us. I mean, that is not just junk economy. That is a like producing bullets so we can all take a bullet and shoot it through our own heads. It is a complete suicidal insanity is what we're seeing. So to call it just junk economy is very mildly. It's a suicide economy.
You know that comment, war is the harvest of the Jews. Well, this is a war on the population itself through pharmacological means. So, yeah, they're normally living off us and wasting our money, living the high life, but they're also using it to push their agenda. And now they're literally killing us and profiting off of it. And exactly. Think about the OxyContin and all that. It's not just the COVID stuff. And like I say, I'm basically away from all mass media. The only mass media I really see is like YouTube, you know, and that's more learning. But you really notice if you're not around TVs and then you suddenly see a TV or hear the radio in the car. Incredible. Leaving COVID entirely aside, incredible proliferation of conditions requiring drugs to manage them. Stuff that was never, ever heard of. So they're in the business of creating and managing diseases, some of which may well be real. Most of which I suspect probably are not. They're just a different grouping of symptoms tied under some concocted name with a concocted drug to treat it, to turn your body into a bill. And then, you know, at the same time, we're being impoverished and sickened by this. They're spending tens of billions of our dollars are extracted and sent to Ukraine, you know, to pursue the war of spreading transsexualism and homosexuality. Get that into Russia. Get that in Ukraine. I mean, it all hangs together. We have to destroy them before they destroy us. It's exactly like a rabid dog or something. I mean, they're constantly attacking us in every possible way, and there's nothing that can be done to fix them. They're not going to back off. I mean, kicking them out just means we're going to have to kick them out again. That's not good enough.
I suspect
solve the problem.
I suspect that the resolution
not
of this problem
down the road, not kick the Cohen down the road, but solve the goddamn problem.
That's good.
You know, Alex, the solution this time will be it'll be the biological response that Eustace Mullins talked about. And you know, when when your body reacts to some germs that are infecting you and making you sick, your body does not react and consult the feelings of the germs. They get destroyed. If your body doesn't deal with the germs and destroy them, then you will just stay sick. And this is what's going to happen now. The Jew is now setting the level of the revenge of what's coming himself. The Jew, it's a little bit like when you find out someone has been raping all the little girls in your neighborhood and you confront him about that and he starts whining about his sore penis. That's not going to win him any sympathies. It's just going to make his end so much more gruesome. And
I'm telling you, that's why they created Christianity, is to that we can't see clearly, like, and just rationally, objectively look at this matter. No, it's confound. Oh no, God created them, or God chose them, but also God created these blacks. These coloreds they used to destroy our community. So we can't ever look at the thing. Can't I just look at the thing with my eyes and see what's going on and use my brain to interpret how I would best be advised to respond? Oh, no, you can't, because there's this thing called morality. Why is this morality always forcing me to do stuff that destroys myself and my community, at least on the political level? And they have really, really, I really think that's where they got their big inroads with us. And apart from that, it's purely technology. If they had the technology they have now, that they had in the 20th century, they would have been doing this 2,000 years ago. I absolutely believe that. And now, this is the last part I'm going to say, and if you guys have any more, then we'll keep going. But ultimately this control. Now, you were talking about it a little bit or hinting at it earlier. The control is going to come through completely digitized money and the way that they can effectively track and trace everything that's spent while preserving their fiat ability to print as much money as they want, except they won't be printing at all because money literally will not exist. It'll just be on these cards. And their main guy for doing that they're going to do, my point is, we either have to go with absolute hard money in the form of crypto and like Bitcoin or their central bank digital dollars, which they are now developing. They're trying to. This is what BitBoy said in the last week. This is one of the more important things I saw this week worth talking about. BitBoy said that there's this young Jew, I think he might have just turned 30, called Sam Bankman-Fried. And he is basically the new Paul Warburg. And BitBoy said that he is working up something to ban peer-to-peer transactions. So this is effectively like the internet saying everything you do has to go through a central hub controlled by Jews rather than with Bitcoin and peer-to-peer. There is no middleman. That's the big freeing advance, that if we can get a society built on that and get rid of the Jew, we're home free. But what the Jew wants is to expend the power of central banking and fiat money creation, i.e. counterfeiting and stealing from people who earn it. He wants to expand that into the digital world and combine that with the social controls that are already existing today in China very extensively. So they can determine, like, okay, you have to spend your money by this date. You must spend it on this and that. We see that you spent this money over here on something we don't approve of, so we're taking that money from you, or we can give the money a wear out date. I encourage people to look around and read some of the articles about the absolute horror of digital dollars and doing away with cash. It is a complete control system. Effectively, it's like a police force you don't even need to pay or feed, so that they know every last little thing you're doing. It makes so much of free ordinary life impossible. Combine that with the Jewish political agenda, they will have a global slave state if that is achieved. And Bitcoin and perhaps some of the other cryptos are the Aryan response to this, because they're absolutely limited in number. You can't print more of them, which is the first thing. This is one of the biggest stories of our time. And the Sam Bankman-Fried is the one to watch. And he's the one that they put on apparently on all their – I never seen him, but he's on all their CNBC and all their financial news shows, as opposed to other Aryans who know better and have a better agenda. But excuse me. he is basically, like I say, a new Paul Warburg who looks like a Karl Marx. He's a young kid who's a multi-billionaire. He's taken as the expert that they always quote instead of others. And a lot of these libertarian digital crypto people can't really see the connection. But we as racialists know what the connection is to Jews and their men. Of course, he's a Jew. Of course, he's serving Jews. And BitBoy also claims he's working with Circle, is where they're going to put out the digital dollar, the central bank digital currency. CBDC is what it's called. Will come through Circle and Sam Bankman-Fried and outlawing peer-to-peer. Now, Bitcoin is a global thing, but outlawing peer-to-peer would make things a lot more difficult. So people have to watch this. This absolutely must be completely fought and destroyed. We cannot become slaves with these digital dollars, because you know what they do. They'd say, oh, well, you have to spend your money in a black-owned business, or there's no way to get around it. They can see all your transactions. They can see everything you do. They have complete political control if they have a digital dollar. And we can't allow that. So that's really the last main thing I had to point out today. But
I'll tell you what, Alex, I'm convinced that the guy you're talking about, that's their poster boy kind of thing for that subject. But this entire the entire idea that any kind of a Bitcoin is going to be worth anything at all when we have total blackouts, they'll just be nothing. It'll be, you know, in the old days when people would trade for clams or gold coins or something, you had something in your hand that you could, you know, or or even writing a coupon, like you're a carpenter and I'm a baker, and I write on a piece of paper, you know, how much I got from you and you got from me and so forth. We're going to be going back to trading just real things for real things, and they can take their bitcoins and stick them right up their ass. When there's a power outage and all these little devices stop functioning, that's the end of their
if that happens. But if we're still living in a civilization with electricity, Bitcoin is going to be our salvation from their. It's not all the same. It's exactly opposite. Bitcoin is Aryan, and their shit is central bank dollars. Bitcoin is peer to peer. They can't get in the middle of it. There's nothing they can do to it.
But we will be seeing, in this collapse, we will be seeing power outages. And this will, you know, we've seen it before when you know what happens when power goes out because of a hurricane or something, just for a couple of days. What happens, like in New Orleans or something like that. But this time around, it can be a lasting blackout, just simply because whether it's Nord Stream, you know, the Nord Stream pipelines being blown up, or similar events happening any place in the world now. And this
if it gets that bad, then we'll use physical stuff or whatever. Maybe that will come. I don't know, but
we'll use physical stuff. That's exactly where we're going, and that's where our cities, our big cities, will become. Zones of total death. It'll be the stench of decaying bodies will make the cities uninhabitable for quite a long time. Actually, that's my prediction. When you have major power outages, how do people who live in these big apartments, living on the 30th or 40th floor, they won't even be able to come and go out of their apartments because of walking up the staircases with no lights, and they'll be robbed of anything they have on their way to their apartment on the 40th floor. I mean, this is unimaginable for them now, but this is a reality that's going to be coming. And I tell you, just like people couldn't imagine what swimming in the cold water would be like when they're on the Titanic, you know, let's just say that presumably the Titanic was real, there's a lot of talk about that. But nobody asks you if you like swimming in the cold water when you book a passage on a cruise liner, and yet when the ship goes down, that's it. You either sink or you have to swim, you know, and that's what's coming now is these are the laws of nature, you know, and bitcoins or wherever people's big accounts at a bank won't help them when the hordes are going through rampaging down the streets and you know, stealing whatever they can get.
Well, yeah,
that's so the breakdown of civilization.
I agree. I don't know if it'll come to that or not, or just steadily degrade. There could be a nuclear war though too, which would make everything irrelevant. But
Zelensky
we want to advise people to have guns, certainly have the ability to protect yourself, the ability to feed yourself. It's better to be away from major urban areas, I would certainly think. Certainly my opinion.
And to people to understand what the hell's going on and stop responding to these weaponized words and terms and lies and so forth. I mean, this is we're finding our artificial world collapsing right now, and it's in free fall. It's going to collapse. There's no way around that anymore. So that's it.
Yeah,
you
watch. I kind of watch Chicago because it's only a few hundred miles from me, but, you know, more businesses – a couple more, I can't think of their names. They recently relocated out of Chicago. And I think I may have even said last show, like, they're basically going to have bail for all crimes come the new year. So I can't wait to see how that works out, because they already have dozens of shooting every weekend. They have that fish looking stupid black broad. I don't even know what her name is, but the one who's only going to talk to black reporters, and just a complete uttering festering hole, and it's only going to get worse. And you know, they've just utterly failed in California. They've utterly failed in Chicago. New York is just full of nastiness. Every day you read in the Daily Mail out of the UK, they have stories of just obscene violence in New York. USA is not doing well. And yeah, you got to protect yourself. And yeah, I mean, You got to have some physical ability to protect yourself, something to eat, you know, and be able to grow some food and group together with anyone of like mind you can find now. But
well, you know, you guys are now entering into some of the chaos that we've been living in, and things like stashing away fuel and food and stuff. I've been at that, and I've taken care of some of those things. The one thing that does bother me, Alex, is the possibility of the banking system collapsing or the stock market collapsing. That is one thing that is worrying me. I was looking at some of the white South Africans who are analyzing, because a lot of white South Africans have also moved money to American stock markets and things. And now, you know, if your stock markets go, everybody goes. And you know, Alex, everything except for government bonds, insurance, you name it, revolves around the stock market. If the stock markets go, people lose their pensions, people lose their investments, people lose everything. I reckon that if that happens, Alex, that you'll see white people lose their shit like you've never seen in your life before. But
it's gone down because they're not printing money. They were printing money, you know, 40% of the dollars were printed in the last couple of years, and now they've stopped that, and now they're raising interest rates, and the stock market has gone down, and everything else tends to follow the stock market. Absolutely.
And I saw some commentators saying that the economic stuff isn't going to be fixed. You know, even the 2008 crash, which came from lending money to blacks in America, that 2008 crash, it took them about 10 years just to kind of fake it up to sort of fix the market. And all of these things, there comes a point where things collapse. What I want to say is the big thing is that trust is broken. Alfred, I want to tell you guys something. Here in Africa, across the border in Zimbabwe, what used to be Rhodesia, that country went through such mayhem, including having to print amounts that are like the Weimar Republic. All of that happened like 10 years ago. And I want to tell you that a society like that, I watched that society. In that society, eventually nobody believes anything. Even the blacks, they stop believing anything. And one of the things I've noticed about the Jews are constantly coming up with new ideas and new concepts. But take note that their new stuff is coming back with diminishing returns. They are trying new tricks, but their tricks aren't as successful. An example that I noted was the Jew Zuckerberg with Facebook, when he did all the transition to Meta and blah, 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 and all that, how it's going to work. That's not actually been working well. And I suspect that these Jews look like they're trying all kinds of new tricks, but as people get more and more sick of the system and people move away from the system and people trust them less, people are just going to start ignoring stuff. So I think there'll come a time where a lot of these rich and Jews are talking and nobody's going to be listening. Make no mistake, humans adapt and humans change in many ways. Alfred, I wanted to ask you something. Didn't you say that the Jew Silverstein on 9/11, that he defrauded a German insurance company?
Yes, to the tune of $6 billion, correct. And he was gloating about him having the plans for the new World Trade Center on his desk in April of 2000, which is 17 months before 9/11. So this is a clear, obvious, open, in-your-face insurance fraud. Now, why don't you try to do that? Burn your house down because you want to buy build a better one, and gloat in front of the camera to your friends that you had the plans on your desk 17 months before you burned it down. I think the insurance company wants to know about that.
So what is?
And I tell my parole guys. But yeah, the insurance company is Munich Re, which is they insure the insurance companies kind of thing for huge, you know, the huge damages like from hurricanes or terrorist attack, as you call this false flag, you know, thing. Yeah. And they are right in Munich, right where I go to my parole officer, and I told them about that, and they know all about it. So now they're trying to – they always come up with feeble excuses why they can't deal with it, but they're not going to be able to pull out of this one because I keep reminding them every single time I see them, which is once a month, and I'll keep on it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be interesting to know how much money total Jews have stolen from Germans in the last 150 years.
There's no number that can define that. It is the stealing, you know, like when you kill millions and millions of Germans, and then this Holocaust fucking bullshit, crap lie. I mean, it's not just the Germans, it's the entire planet. The Jews have stolen the entire planet and the basis for life from this planet for themselves. And this is this carries a price. Like, they have now got the entire world as mortal enemies. That's what the situation is right now. And the world will take back everything they have stolen.
Absolutely.
That's what's happening.
So Alfred, these Germans, my apologies, Alex. So, Alfred, this German company, they don't talk about it. Have you ever tried to, like, write a letter to them or say anything?
Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of another one of these magic things that happened. Just recently, I met a woman who had got to know somebody who worked at Munich Re. She was a meteorologist, the person who was working at Munich Re, because that, you know, these big insurance companies have their own meteorologists and so forth to analyze weather patterns to figure out, you know, what might the risks and so forth. And this person, this meteorologist, it was a woman, and she was collecting all the stuff from 9/11 after 9/11, and went up to the highest person in that company that she could get to. And this person, which was the CEO, I guess, and this person was a German name, born in Israel. What a coincidence that is. And this person told this woman, "I do not want you to ever talk about this again, and I want you to leave this office," you know. So that's the reaction that she got. And all the stuff I'm going to report, I like to talk about that on these talk shows, because I'm also talk to these things to my parole officer. So these people, they are listening to this evidence or looking at the evidence, and then they find some feeble bullshit excuse why they don't have to deal with it. But we need this for after this turns, then these people will be taken into court and this will be dealt with then. And I'm telling them also, you don't have to deal with it now, but you will be dealing with it. You will be held accountable and responsible for what you are doing now. Namely, you are now an accomplice to the crime because you are, I'm telling you, here's the evidence, I'm showing it to you, and now you're coming up with some feeble, nonsensical excuse why you don't have to deal with it. Now, if you watched me kill someone and you remain silent, you will be held accountable and guilty also because you failed to speak up. Now you are in the boat. You have got to speak up. You are my go-to person in this judicial area here, this territory. And I talk about you on the talk shows and so forth. So let's see. How are you going to get out of this one? You're not going to get out of this one. Okay, that's it. Like that's, you know, that's why we're talking about it now.
Wow, Alfred. I think, have you ever done – you're still doing videos, I assume.
I'm just talk shows like this. Like, I haven't done any new videos, and I don't think I will, because talk shows are the way to go now. And then people can take parts of the talk shows and compile them into videos and so forth. That's the medium of communication that we're really using most heavily now.
Okay. Well, Alfred, I think that this thing of this particular company that the Jews stole from, That sounds like something that needs to be spread around in Germany, hey?
Absolutely. In fact, I've got Larry Silverstein, that little video where he's gloating about it. I'm just in the process of putting the German subtitles into that video clip, and that's what I want to get spread out as far and wide as possible and get these people just – yeah.
Please, and send me copies of your German stuff. I will I will put links to it. No, excellent. Any time Jews steal from Germany, scam Germans, etc., we must – every single theft must be explained. You know, these people do – Jews are such high-level criminals that they get right to the top and then they steal like crazy. They're like a lunatic. They're in a whole different class by themselves. I don't think any human being in history operates like the Jews. No way. I've read lots of history and I've never seen anything like it. You put them into a position of trust, they'll betray the fuck out of you, and that's what they do. The other thing I wanted to ask you is about Germany. I just wanted to ask a few questions about Germany. How is German politics? I mean, I know all politics is lame, but are there any things that are good? What about the AfD? And are there any other movements that you think are happening in Germany?
No, none of the public parties there, if you will, have any value whatsoever. Even the AfD is just a controlled opposition, nothing more. Anytime anybody there's certain subjects they will not talk about, and if without talking about this hollow hoax, there's no coming out of this problem. The hollow hoax is the big lie with which the Jews are enslaving us by transforming the monetary debt that they have forced us into through their deceiving and cheating and stealing into a moral debt. So after they have committed all the crimes, we are stuck with the guilt. You see, they commit the crimes, we own the guilt. And this is their transformation of a monetary debt into a moral debt. And there is no remedying this problem without addressing the core of this whole problem, and that is the hollow hoax and all the crime. So this is it. Like that's the core of the problem.
Understood. And Alfred, I totally agree with you. Never back down on the Holocaust. That is the biggest scam. It's just psychological warfare. It's just a bunch of bullshit. And that is something where Germans are going to be beaten with a stick over this thing until Germans turn around and say, "You know what? Shut the fuck up. Get out of my face." There are many things. You people, you are too civilized. Your manners are too good. You're dealing with scum. You can't talk to them like you talk to another European. You have to talk to them in a whole different way. So, there's something I want to just ask Alex. Alex, you know, one thing that amazed me about Trump, Truth Social. Trump had such a following. Trump had such opportunity. He's so popular. He's got such a following. And if there was one thing that Trump could have done that could have really worked, that was by setting up his own mass media. And this Truth Socials and all his media moves seem to have been a total flop. Is Alex there?
I don't hear anything.
Oh,
Yeah.
sorry. I was talking. I had my button off because I was making noise. So I wanted to while I was listening to you, which I sometimes do that. But Truth Social, I believe, had massive technical problems right out of the box, and that hurt it also. But I think the deeper thing is that I've always wondered whether to what extent this is biological versus something that can be overcome by training. White people are like beaten dogs. If you have an owner that beats a dog, the dog still keeps running back to the owner because that's all it knows or that's all it can do. White people the same way. Their biological need to worship authority and submit to authority and respect authority and respect social status is so great that anything that is not perceived as the mainstream thing, and in the case of social media, that's Twitter, they simply can't deal with it. No, they want to be. So even if Twitter totally bans you, disrespects you, discriminates against your point of view, they still keep running back to it and they just won't go to another. And that's just how it is. And you can find this, you talk with people. And their basic view is if you were right, you'd be running things, as it was put to me once, or that not said, but clearly what people think, if you were right, you'd be on TV saying it. They TV
Yes.
simply have an inbuilt biological tropism to align with authority. Twitter is the authority. Twitter is the social media in its type, and that's all the only one that matters. I mean, they could come to mind. I mean, I've got one set up, pieville.net. We have some people, but not very many. I mean, if they actually wanted free speech where no one interfered with them, there are options. They don't. They want the name brand. So even if you're Trump setting up, you have the highest name brand and you set up your own thing, you're not going to do more than a little, because Twitter is the acknowledged leader there. And I'm telling you, it's all biological social fears and the perceived authority. That's why Jews go make a beeline to take over the mass media in society, because that is perceived as authority. And Jews are a little less like us. They can stand against perceived authority, whereas we generally cannot. It's much rarer among whites. Whereas when Jews had complete control, they were willing to criticize stuff. And yeah, they still had a network of people, so maybe that's the difference. And they had racial loyalty. But whites just generally, I don't know what else to say. I don't know any other way to interpret it. Because yeah, in theory, you would think, okay, Trump's people will all march with him over to this new network, but in reality, it doesn't happen. And then again, you also can't underestimate, as I started with, the technical problems and legal problems when you try to set something up, because everything that's set up relies on some other service, and there you get right back to the same Jews controlling Twitter and controlling the rest of it. They can cut it off. Well, Twitter's not owned by Jews. I don't know who owns it now, but originally it was started by a white guy, I think Irish Catholic guy from St. Louis. But he left, Jack Dorsey, and now I don't know, banks and investment funds probably own it now, but it has the same TOS. The people who staff its upper levels are extremely leftist, mostly non-white or Jewish, and they're not going to allow you to say stuff they don't like. But they are the big player in the game. They are the original, and that's what people, for status reasons, want to go with. That's my interpretation anyway.
Okay. You know, as a technical guy, I was quite surprised that Trump, a billionaire like Trump, couldn't really get his thing going, and that he had all these technical problems, and also that he didn't go to Gab. But that Kushner boy who's married his daughter and his daughter converting to Judaism, that seems like a really big problem in the Trump camp.
Yeah, that it's literally
they are stuffing
what
things
I said.
Up.
He demanded it. It's not theory there. He demanded, as Andrew Torba admitted, that he demanded as a quid pro quo that all criticism of Jews in Israel will be banned as the price of Trump joining Gab.
Well, that's well, then
I'm not making that up. That's what Torba said himself. And Torba was very, very, very reluctant to criticize Jews. He's a big Christian. He finally will criticize Jews to some extent, but only after repeatedly being beaten up by Jews would he admit that, yeah, Jews are the actual problem, who's attacking me, even though I'm just running a conservative social media that doesn't. Well, I mean, he banned me, so he got rid of a lot of the main Jew critics. So he, while still prating about how speaking freely, which you can't do, you can speak freely if he lets you. So this is the actual lay of the land. So then Trump, of course, goes and does his own thing, but, you know, didn't really work. Nope, people want Twitter. The hope for Twitter is Elon Musk, and that's no great hope, but it is possible he'll allow a broader speech on there than is allowed today.
That's unlikely. I mean, Elon Musk is a Jew. I don't think he's going to be very suddenly, change
Jew.
Tune.
I don't think he's a Jew.
Yes, he is.
He's not
Elon
a Jew.
Musk is a Jew. Yeah, yeah, he's
no,
a Jew, as
not.
Far as I know.
No, look it up. I've looked it up. He's actually like Pennsylvania German, British, and some other stuff, by way of Canada, South Africa.
Maybe there's some falsified records.
These people will claim everybody's a Jew. It pains me to say that white nationalists are very unreliable on that stuff, because they will call anyone a Jew. He is. They're like, Elon means oak in Yiddish, or it's like whatever. Half the people on Earth are named after someone in the Old Testament. I mean, that everybody in our family tree in the 19th century was named after someone in the Bible, almost. Now he's British, Pennsylvania Dutch, basically, and then they went to his dad was mining in South Africa. Now, if someone came out with a full case proving it, then yeah, I've seen people kind of say this and that, but from the basic information out there, he's not a Jew. No, I think the main reason they used was he went to like some Jewish high school in South Africa, I think is what it was. Jan, can you say something about that?
Alfred, I also was of the opinion originally. I thought to myself, Elon Musk must be a Jew. And I've hunted around here in South Africa, and I can't find any proof that he's in any way Jew-related.
The evidence was he might have gone to a Jewish high school, but that was like, you know, Jews go to Catholic high schools if that's the best high school around there. It's probably one of those type things, if it's even true. But nah, I'm pretty sure he's not a Jew.
Also, the other thing, Alex, that I must tell
they themselves will say he's not a Jew also, because I saw like Jew or not Jew. And so look up their sites. Just type Elon Musk Jew and they'll admit he's not a Jew.
And
he's not even like a half Jew, as far as I know.
Yes,
I consider someone down to grandparents a Jew. Even if they have only like Lenin, like quarter Jew, they're still a Jew. He doesn't even have that much he has any Jew blood. I've never seen anyone prove that he had Jew blood, because they're all satisfied by just claiming it as an opinion. Jew is not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of blood and genealogy, and it can be demonstrated. It's not a religion. It's a freaking race, or hybrid race, or subspecies, or whatever you want to call it. So you got to take calling him a Jew as something that I take seriously, and I don't use it as a generic epithet like fag.
Alex, I totally agree with you. And another thing I want to point out that won't be obvious to you guys living outside South Africa is he grew up in Pretoria. Pretoria is very, very, very white Afrikaans. Very. It is intensely Afrikaans. And the Jews live in the other cities, in the commercial cities. The majority of Jews live in Johannesburg. And the other place for Jews is Cape Town. Pretoria is not a Jew city. It's so Afrikaans. And I also looked at the history of his mother and his father. His mother was a model from Canada, and she seemed to be totally white. His father is also, his behavior and all his background does not strike me as Jewish. His father is quite a wild guy.
They're like engineering type people, aren't they?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, his father was all over the place.
Engineering, and his father even went and did stuff up in Africa and bought a mine. His father, I actually like his
They strike
his
me
father.
As Germanic engineering type. He's a Germanic engineering type, basically.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think that Musk, because Musk always distances himself from his father, and they're like embarrassed by the father. But the father is quite a cool guy, and that's another thing. The father was robbed. The father lives somewhere in Johannesburg here, and the father was robbed, and he shot two blacks dead. I can tell you that's also not a Jew thing. And the father seems almost like he almost strikes me like he's some kind of atheist, and he's like half racist, he says the damnedest things. The father said, the only reason you're on Earth is to breed. He's busy boinking some young girl, and he's having
his father. Yeah, and his father is a weird parallel, kind of like Mel Gibson's father.
I actually like Elon Musk's father. I think his father's fucking awesome.
we're not familiar with him over here, but then he came to the U.S. and he had a long, hard road of going to schools, and then he developed some software that was used in the newspaper industry, and that's where he made his first real money. But of course, his dad had some money too. But I don't know how much he got from his dad. He was kind of separated from him, I think. He's pretty self-made.
Yeah, it's like his mother divorced his father, and then she raised the children. But the father was somewhat loaded. But Alex, you're totally right. I agree with you. His father's an engineer, and that's not that an engineer in Pretoria. That's definitely no Jew. I can't see. There was not a thing I could find. Not a.
It's
school,
also the,
not
the genuine creativity of the space rockets and the mining, the boring, and the other stuff he's done is more now. If he goes to a Jew high school, okay, that's a point. If he's had any association with newspaper media, that's a point where you might think. But there are non-Jews in those things, and I tried to prove he was a Jew. I didn't think – I never thought he was, but I tried to prove it because people were claiming it. I could not find any evidence he was.
Same here. I was exactly on the same thing. I was looking at his name. I was saying Musk. That might be half Jew, but that name Elon Musk. But ultimately, Alex, like you, I couldn't prove it. I couldn't find a thing. You know. So.
The Jews don't claim he's a Jew, and they would absolutely be claiming he was a Jew if he was a Jew.
Definitely. Definitely.
Well, that's good. That's interesting information, and I don't know him personally. I couldn't prove it, my assumption was obviously then wrong. Look it up,
and you'll see what we found. But believe me, by no means is there any guarantee he's going to allow any kind of free speech that involves Jew criticism on Twitter. That's a dream of mine that he would, because it's such a great platform. I love it, but. You know, I get banned off there again and again and again the minute I try to make a comment criticizing Jews. But that, again, is why Kanye West, even though he got banned off there for Jew criticism, it still really opened that up. There's a lot of Jew criticism on there at the moment, and I'm trying to take advantage of it. It's my latest account. I'm just saying. In the end, it doesn't really make that big of a difference unless he allows Jew criticism somewhere.
He's got. I mean, like we either have free speech or we don't. There is no exceptions to that by defining it or claiming it's hate speech. What a bunch of fucking bullshit that is! I mean, like that's. I don't waste my time on any platform that that starts.
The thing.
Like but YouTube see, for me is worthless.
We're fighting. I get a lot of value out of it for just. I mean, they censor the hell out of it. If you mean posting your own stuff, I'm sure. Yeah, they're not. They're going to ban it, but. At least what they allow is you can avoid commercials on it. But yeah, they end up banning everyone you really like if they're touching on politics. Eventually, they get banned. I don't know about the others, Jan. You know, there's Odyssey and other ones. I don't know if they're any better or not, really.
Yeah, I've not gone after other places after Twitter. Alex and I were banned a couple of times on Twitter, and nowadays I just stick with.
No, they're all they all that claim free speech never do. I mean, when I started back before 2000, I was on. It was called Free Republic. They were all, you know, anytime you see a U.S. flag, it's an Israeli controlled thing. It always ends up being. And they banned me like 31 times off there, and I really love that place.
Oh, and wow! You were on Free Republic.
Oh yeah, before I started writing stuff on the internet, I was on Free Republic. I would post all kinds of stuff back maybe late 90s. I got banned literally 30, I think it was 31 or 32 times off there. I got banned for criticizing Jews, Israel, and making racial points. So,
oh, wow.
For some reason, the character of the conservative, he just like a woman, he will do one thing while thinking himself another. So the conservative will think that I support free speech even while he bans criticism of Jews, and in his mind, those two never bother him, even if he's male. And among women, it's almost every single one wants to be one thing. They want to be thought one thing, but be something else. And if you pull that contradiction off, they'll start crying when they recognize it. But even these men who are conservatives are the same fucking way. You don't allow free speech if there's no criticism of Jews. Oh, the one people who actually own and run everything can't be criticized here. But I also support freedom of speech. So in their minds, they just define it to mean whatever I do is freedom of speech. And this is the biological label that can't get beyond labels. So they identify themselves with free speech, but you can't have real free speech there.
See, in any censorship whatsoever, no matter how it's defined, is only going to exacerbate the reaction in the end, because it allows them, enables them to take it overstretch it ever so much more. It's like a volcanologist who's not allowed to talk about an eruption of a volcano is not going to change anything, except that if people think that they're safe, they're going to get blasted even harder when it finally erupts.
Well, and that's what's going to happen. Right. That's what's happening. I hope you're right.
That, well, it is right, because that's why the Jews, because they start, they think they can get away with it because they have gotten away with it so far, they keep going and going and going. And that's why we see the absolute insanity that we're seeing now, where they actually believe they can now inject us with rat poison, because not only are you not allowed to talk about denying the Holocaust, but now you are not allowed to criticize the rat poison injections. You understand? And now you're not allowed to talk about those people who are dying from the rat poison injections. So when are you going to face up to this censorship? That's the whole point. And that's why I say I completely avoid any place that censors it. I don't want to know what else they're feeding us, because without the core problem being mentioned or talked about, I don't want to know about the bullshit dressing that they're trying to stuff us with. So that's it. Like, there is either free speech or there's not free speech, but there's no such thing as, oh, that's free. There's the difference between free speech and hate speech. I mean, this is so infantile. It is insane. That's my take on it.
Alfred, I totally agree with you that the longer this goes on and the more they beat us down, the more powerful the reaction will be. That yeah. It's really a boiler. You know, it's like pressure going into a boiler, and you keep pumping up that pressure and it ain't exploding. When that baby blows, you're going to see something. And I want to tell you that, you know, in my studies of history and as I look at people, let me tell you, people do not, all white people, all people are actually quite, nobody wants trouble. Nobody wants trouble, and nobody wants to do nasty things, and nobody wants to do horrible things. But you know what? There comes a point where people can't take it anymore. We're not going to talk today about South Africa's other stuff, but I want to tell you, like, our electricity and our other things that are failing, these things are just pissing people off more and more, and it's just making people angrier, and these people are constantly trying to keep it in, but we're animals, and it's going to come out. Alfred, everything racial and biological, it's all the same thing. Alex, these things are 100% real. They're going to blow. Don't you worry about it. It's going to happen. And even the most docile whites here, the time will come. They'll get out. They'll get angry. There's the perfect term in South Africa is gatvol. And I want to tell you, gatvol wasn't invented as a term here in South Africa for nothing. This comes from utter frustration of dealing with another race, another alien race that you're not related to, that's completely different to you. There's a frustration that even these people here will not be able to hold. And I can see the anger and the stress. And as it comes closer, but the thing that's a real trigger is that when it comes to their doorstep, and when it comes to your home and to your money and to your ability to feed yourself, etc., when it becomes that real, that's when people start losing their shit. And we are getting closer and closer to that here in South Africa. I just want to say two quick things. One thing, in studying the Jews in South Africa, the Jews were trying to create communism and black revolution to kill whites. They were starting this in the late 1920s. And it took them 20 years. It took them at least 20 years to try and get the blacks to the point where they could even do a little bit of resistance. And for them to finally get to the point where we had a society where the blacks were aggressively rebelling against the whites and the whites had to shoot them, it actually took almost 60 years. So the Jews were working with the blacks and the others, And the Jews were creating all the enemies of the whites and gathering them together and stoking them up and, quotes, educating them and propagandizing them. But in reality, it took almost 60 years before there was real big-scale clashes between the races. So the one thing you guys must just keep in mind is that we've only been active on the internet for 20 years. So don't be too impatient, but we are already moving faster than the Jews and the blacks were. So don't be too worried. The thing will blow at the right time when people truly have had enough. And all these weird things that are breaking down worldwide, I can see that things are spreading faster and faster among whites. Plus, I also think that we function better together than we think. Don't knock us. We're not that bad. Final thing. Oh, yes. And what I wanted to say, Alfred, what Hitler did with the youth, the boys and girls, and how he taught them, we have to do that to all whites. White people are taught to be stupid. They are taught, oh, you live in a free society, capitalism is free, there's a free market, there's free speech, you've got all your freedoms. But meanwhile, you don't have those freedoms. And no, those things do not work like that. And the rich have got their own rules in their financial system that you don't even know exists. So, you know, people are so indoctrinated that you have to take them like the communists and Jews had to do with the blacks. You have to take them and you have to teach them. You have to say to them, listen, there's this thing, politics, and this is how it works. It doesn't work the way that you were taught at school. This is how it really works. And Hitler did that, and Hitler had to do that. He had to educate his people. My final comment, Alex, you sent me a thing about solar power quite some time ago about a guy who was saying that solar power, he had solar power and then he gave up on it and he tossed it out and it wasn't that impressive. And he is correct up to a point. In the case of solar power, when your real power starts breaking, it's not as easy to do your own power as it was when it was done properly and professionally by a big organization like we had in South Africa, Eskom. Eskom was an Afrikaans creation, and it was parastatal. When you go into these other things, it is much more difficult because you are working on a small scale. So if you've got to go and buy a generator and you've got to put petrol fuel in it and you've got to run that thing for 24 hours a day, it'll bankrupt you. You just can't afford it. So we lose all the benefits of scale, the economic benefits of scale that we used to have from these bigger setups. But solar and battery is the best alternative. I do have a generator. I have a tiny generator. I've got a small generator so that I didn't have to, so that it used as little petrol as possible. And I used that in the earlier years when the power outages weren't that bad. But nowadays, that's why I moved to solar and to battery. Because solar and battery can't produce as much power, but what it can do is it can produce power for much longer. So you get less power, but you get it for longer periods of time, and the costs associated with it over time are much less. So it's much more viable than a generator. And so that's, I actually must send you some pictures of some of the stuff I did with my own sort of home hacked together solar and battery stuff. And so I fixed up my stuff in the winter and everything, and I'm using it so much now that all of this show has been done on it. I use it most of the time now. I've even set up my lights and my office and everything to run off batteries. And I'm actually enjoying it so much that there are many times I don't even know that the power has gone out, because I'm actually running about 80% of the time off my own battery bank and solar power, either in the day or in the night. But you are right, Alex. It's not a great solution, but it's at least a viable solution that we can afford. And I can tell you, people are moving away big time. My other, I'll give you a final word of wisdom from South Africa, where fuck all works and the blacks and Jews have fucked up everything. Final word of wisdom is I got myself a little hot plate and gas, drilled a hole through a wall so I could put my gas cylinder outside, and I'm cooking and boiling and doing everything on my hot plate and avoiding the other things. I used to love a microwave, but I remembered what my mom had. My mom had an old pressure cooker, and I went and found myself old-style 1970s non-technical pressure cooker, yet another example of junk science. Compare the modern electrical doodad pressure cookers with that. And I took that pressure cooker, tested it on my little gas hot plate, and my verdict is old-style pressure cooker cooks faster than a microwave, faster and better and way cheaper. So all kinds of things that we discover. Anyway, so I think that's more than enough for today. We can touch base on other things. I would have liked to ask more about Germany and the state of Germany. Alfred, maybe next time we can learn a bit about that. But anyway, I think that's
yeah. I'm interested today in all these businesses going under and the decline of the economy as winter approaches. But yeah, we've probably gone enough today.
And Alex, another topic that we must touch on that I wanted to talk about today, but really, please, we must remember this, is how big Jewish business destroys white businesses. It's actually a topic, this whole topic about pharmacies and everything. There's a ton of stuff I can tell you about how whites have been driven out of business. Alex, they've driven whites, vast numbers of whites, out of farming. Do you know that at a point, the blacks destroyed 97% of all the gun shops in South Africa? 97%.
Blacks, yeah, I mean, they overtly, that's the white basis of opposition. The white men got to earn a living, and those are Trump supporters, and they have absolutely in the USA attacked them and killed a lot of the service businesses and restaurants and such over a couple of years of shutdown. And now, as we see, you can't underestimate that stuff going on in the Netherlands about just saying, oh, we're going to reduce farming by 30% because the World Economic Forum wants that. Feed kids crickets. That same stuff will absolutely come to the USA, and they just keep inflating the money, raising the taxes, and more strengthening the central government. At some point, it has to fall apart, or we will be absolutely enslaved with their digital dollars. We're going to have to fight back. It's that simple. And that's what you listening need to understand. And I think people do understand that.
Absolutely. Alex, we'll be fighting for our lives. And I can tell you, in South Africa, we're getting closer and closer. As the months and years go by, the tension is just going up. People are losing their shit. Many things to talk about, but I think
we'll do another show, and maybe you listening another we try to do every 3-4 weeks. How's that?
That's fine.
A lot of things are going to be happening now in the next 3 or 4 weeks, and I think it's important that we do these on a regular basis. Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. I agree. Okay, take and care of yourselves, folks, and thanks for listening, and last word to Jan.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody, for your input. It was awesome. Alfred, I'd love to hear a lot more about Germany and Europe and all your economic problems that you guys are having now with this nasty winter that's coming along. Every ounce of detail, what the hell's going on. So, yeah, thanks very much, guys. It was really awesome to have you. Okay.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pieville.net, that's his Twitter type of website, www.vnnforum.com. You'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.